98 FM. Greg, at the start of the season, if I told you you were going to be 15 points clear of Dundalk after 15 matches, what would you have said or thought?
No, I wouldn't have believed it, to be honest. But look, to be fair, it's hard to be where we are.
No, look, they've obviously gone on the run. I mean, you go on a run like that, teams roll over for you, you know.
Why Limerick for me? This was an opportunity that come about after speaking to the hierarchy at the football club. They've sold the club to me and how they want to progress and where they want to get to, and it's certainly achievable.
He's very honest, and you know, he will take off a lot of very good saves, and something will roll in underneath him. So you know, I just think it was unfortunate that he was put in a situation where people questioned his honesty.
Don't know if the right word is a bit snobby towards the league, that there is more players that could go and play at that level over there.
Jamie, you can say the word arse on a podcast if you want.
I don't know if I could. So.
Here we go now. This is 98FM's League of Ireland podcast with Jamie Moore and Derek Ryan.
Yes, hello there. As the kind man says, my name is Jamie Moore. His name is Derek Ryan, and you are very welcome to another edition of 98FM's League of Ireland podcast. Coming up, we are going to speak to the Shamrock Rovers head coach, Stephen Bradley, on a big win over Galway, looking ahead to a test and a trip at Turner's Cross in Cork this coming Friday. One man who'll try to stop Stephen Bradley and their main man Graham Burke is Cork midfielder Greg Bulger. He'll join us too, as well as Dundalk star Jamie McGrath, and going back to face his former club St Pat's this coming Friday. Limerick have a new gaffer, and he'll tell us why he chose to move to the club, Neil MacDonald, on trying to crack Europe, the thing all clubs want to do this season. Dundalk and Ireland and Preston star Andy Boyle on his time in the League of Ireland, plus the possibility of Sean Maguire joining him in England next season. And our First Division focus, will chat to the cabin TD manager Pat Devlin and the Athlone boss Roddy Collins on the missing team sheet book. Our tweets of the week, hilarious this week, will focus on the Finn Harps manager Ollie Horgan sitting in Dalymount Park in his socks. Let's get it going.
Bringing you the best League of Ireland analysis, interviews and build-up every week. 98FM's League of Ireland podcast.
Now, delighted to be joined by one of our other League of Ireland experts. Mr. Darren Cleary is not here this week, swanning off somewhere, God knows where. But Derek Ryan is here. Derek, hello.
Hello, I've never been called an expert before. Thank you very much, Jamie.
In anything?
In anything, yeah. In any way, shape or form in life.
Now, Derek, you were expanding your expertise on the League of Ireland. We were together, sitting in Stradbroke, in the sunshine, in our Ray-Bans on Saturday, watching Cabin TV in Athlone. It was
very
a lovely
good
evening.
Yeah.
And we were with the who's who of the League of Ireland, really.
Absolutely. UCD manager Colin Neal was there. Everybody was there. It was
great.
Yeah,
the Shells manager Owen Heary, Emma Malone from the Irish Times, Paul Butner, another freelance journalist. John Delaney was there, yes.
Yeah. So all the hobnobs.
And we're going to hear from Roddy Collins and Pat Devlin in a few minutes. But a lovely night for football, sitting in the sunshine, wasn't it?
It was great, yeah. Great to see it as well, yeah.
Lovely coffee before, did we have?
Tea? Lovely coffee before. And my first time in Stradbroke for a football game. I've been there for rugby games back in the day, but first time there for a football game. So lovely, lovely place to watch a game, I have to say.
Now we are going to kick off this week with our Premier Division focus. Shamrock Rovers got back two winning ways on Monday night, beating Galway United 2-0 at Tallaght Stadium. Gary Shaw and Brandon Miele got the goals that followed Friday's controversial 3-1 loss in Derry, in which Graham Burke scored a cracking goal again. Rovers equalised to make it 2-2, but the linesman ruled it out controversially for a non-existent foul on Gerard Doherty, the Derry keeper. The Hoops on the road again this Friday to face the champions Cork City, the champions electoral, I say, Cork City in Turner's Cross. That's at 7:45, and the head coach Stephen Bradley spoke to 98FM's Darren Cleary in Tallaght after the game on Friday and started by giving his overall reaction to the win.
Yeah, tough first half. Very scrappy. We went too direct too early, but I felt second half we settled down and played better football and looked very dangerous going forward. Obviously scored the second goal and could have maybe one or two more. Thought second half we were excellent.
Yeah, talk us through the goals, because I mean patience was probably very important playing against the Galway side. We're looking to defend a lot here.
Yeah, they came to the sit deep and hit us on the counter attack, you know, and we thought they would before the game. We've watched them and that's the way they played against a lot of the sides up the table, so we knew they'd try and do that here with the big pitch, and they have pace, so it was about being patient and moving the ball. And I thought in the first half we didn't do that. We went too direct too early and caused our own problems, really. We became too stretched. I felt second half we rectified that, and I thought we were really, really good.
Yeah, particularly impressive considering that they haven't lost really a lot. I mean, I think they came here on a 7-game unbeaten run, so they don't concede a lot and they tend to get good results. Does that kind of make you feel like it's an even better result to score 2 tonight and get away with 3 points?
Yeah, I thought when we played them down there at the start of the year we won 2-1, and I thought it was a great result at the time, and I think people thought you should beat Galway down there, and I think they've shown since then they're a decent side, like, you know. They play obviously the 3 at the back and it turns into a 5, so they're very hard to break down at times. And we knew tonight was going to be a tough game, especially after a long trip to Derry and tough game up there on Friday. But I thought we had a different class tonight as a team, defensively and attacking.
That composure important you mentioned there, it was a bit scrappy at the start. When you actually got feet on ball and start playing it around, a couple of passes, stringing passes, you looked really comfortable for most of the first half and indeed almost the entire second half.
Yeah, that was the key to settle down and play, like, you know, because when teams sit off you like that, as soon as you go direct, you're playing into the hands because they're ready to hit you down on the counter. We're open to play, so the key was just to relax, trust yourselves and just keep moving the ball. And we knew it opened up at some point, and because they'd get tired, like, you know, and once we did that, I thought we were really good and good value for the two goals.
Yeah, and were you happy with the response to losing up in Derry the last day?
Yeah, because I thought we played well up in Derry, you know. I was really disappointed. We had a goal disallowed, which was should never have been disallowed, you know. The goalkeeper ran into their defender, and we were told it was their centre forward that fell, and he was nowhere near him. So really disappointed to lose up there, because I thought we deserved a point, you know. Long trip back, we had a good chat about it on Saturday morning, Sunday morning, and got ourselves ready for today. And I thought the response from the lads, physically and mentally, I thought they were really, really good tonight.
Graham Burke is starting to look more comfortable and composed in every game he's played. He was a real live wire in the first half, and indeed the second half, he's just looking really at ease now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a top player, Graham. Like, you know, he brings other good players into the game because he sees the game so quickly. And I think he had four or five shots tonight, like, you know, and another night he could have put one or two of them away, because technically he's so strong, like, you know. So you know, he's excellent. He'll only get better with the fitness levels come up.
Yeah, I mean, you speak about fitness levels there, it's going to be very, very important going into the third game in the space of a week. It's Cork. I think you only made one change tonight, that was the enforced one with Roberto out with the ankle injury. What kind of shape will he be in now going to Cork?
I think we'll be fine. I think if you look at us physically, we look really good, we look strong, we look fit, and we have done for most of our games. We're only getting fitter and stronger, so I don't think the trip down to Turner's Cross or the game will be an issue for us. We're fitting strong and ready to go and meet Cork head on.
Yeah, they had to work very, very hard to get their win tonight, but they got it in the end. What have you made of them over the last few weeks?
Look, I haven't seen much of them, to be honest with you, but they're obviously sweeping everyone before them, and you can only respect that, like, you know. Well, we'll go down there, we won't fear them, we'll go and try and win the game.
Have they changed your opinion on them somewhat over the last few games? I know when you played them here, you really put it up to them. They were very lucky to get away with 3 points. Do you still have the same opinion of them? Maybe they're not that far ahead of everyone else?
No, look, they've obviously gone on the run. I mean, you go on a run like that, teams roll over for you, you know, and they deserve that respect, because they're the ones doing it, like, you know. So you can't but give them that respect and say well done. But the time my opinion was on the game here, I felt we were the better team, and my opinion on that will never change, because we were the better team. They go away with the result and they haven't looked back since. Maybe if we turn that into a 2-1 in their favour, it's a different season for them, but they've kicked on and they've obviously beat everyone in front of them so far.
Is it a good game or a bad game to have? I mean, will
it's a great game. You're going down to Turner's Cross, it'll be full down there, they'd be up for it, they want to put us to bed, and it's a great game. As a player, these are the games you want to be involved in. As a manager, these are the games you want to be involved in. So, no, really looking forward to it.
And just before we let you go, a couple of words on the injuries. How's Roberto Lopez's ankle?
Yeah, hopefully he's fine. Just tonight was too soon for him. Like, you know, it was a bad one on Friday. He really went over and it swelled up. But the docs had a good look on him there and thinks he should be okay.
Is Paul Curry any closer? He's been out a couple of weeks with the same knee.
Yeah, no, Paul's still a bit away. Obviously, the knee is on him, so we need to sit down and have a look and see where we go from here.
Shamrock Rovers head coach Stephen Bradley there. More from him. You can see that video interview in full actually on the 98FM Sport Facebook and Twitter pages. And Derek, Rovers were not the only team in action on Monday night.
Absolutely not. No, two of the games as well. St. Pat's fell to a 3-1 defeat up in Donegal to Finn Harps. Disappointing, I suppose. It was 3-0 by half time. Christy Fagan got one back late on in the game, but Danny Morrissey goal after 9 minutes is his second after 28, and then Patrick Maley after 42 minutes pretty much sealed the win before half time. Like I say, Christy Fagan got one back late on in the game, but it was pretty much game over at that stage. So disappointing defeat up in Donegal for Finn Harps. And then you mentioned already the champions elect Cork City. They beat Sligo 2-1. Went 1-0 down, actually. Kieran Sadlier with a penalty in the first half, but two second half goals. Akilah Campion and Kevin O'Connor in the second half sealing the win for Cork City. And they're now, that moved them 16 points clear at the top of the table. I think it's down to 15 now because Dundalk were playing on Tuesday night.
They were. Sean Maguire is human, Derek. He scores so many goals. He's going to Preston, according to my sources, in July on a 3-year contract. But he missed a penalty and blamed the dodgy penalty spot
Is that why he's been left out of Martin O'Neill's squad? Is it?
I think it is.
Because of the dodgy penalty he took.
Scuffed it wide left. And yeah, that was actually at a time when they weren't winning the game. So yeah, Shawny, you're human after all.
But they came back and won the game without him anyway, so...
They did, yes. And the reason why they're now 15 points instead of 16 points clear is because Dundalk got a point that was at Oriel Park. It's scoreless draw against Derry City. We'll hear more about that with Jamie McGrath in a few minutes' time. Bray, nil. Draw to United, nil. Open United Park, draw. They haven't been bashed 5-0 in Cork as well. That was a decent result for them. A poor result for Bray, having lost to Bowes as well on Friday. And Bowes themselves beaten 2-1 by Limerick. We're going to hear as well from the new Limerick manager in a couple of minutes' time. His name, of course, is Neil MacDonald. A 2-1 win for Limerick. They went ahead through Rodrigo Tosi in the 16th minute. Georgie Poynton equalised on 31. And then a Daniel Byrne OG with 8 minutes left won the game for Limerick. Dylan Hayes as well sent off for Bowes with almost the last kick of the game.
Game over, Jamie, in terms of the league?
Yes.
No well, chance. Yes.
The only chance, and someone said this to me last week, if Sean Maguire leaves Cork, where's the goals going to come from? I agree with that.
When will he leave? He'll be leaving in
July yeah. To go to Preston. As far as I'm aware, a contract could have been agreed, but I'm not sure if the transfer fee has been agreed. But it looks like it's done, and it'd be great if it is done.
On the other side of things, Dundalk will have Champions League qualifiers to come as well, so that'll impact on them in terms of the league as
well. Yeah, Cork
will
have Europe too in the Europa League, and you know it's possible they could make a round or two, possibly even make the group stages. Yeah,
absolutely.
But on that, because they're so far ahead, even if Sean does go by the break, now Cork have two big games. They play Shamrock Rovers, then they play Dundalk on the last game before the break in Oriel Park. So if they lose both those games, Dundalk win both those games, the gap is down to nine.
Yeah.
But I think they're so far ahead and doing so well. And Carl Shepherd, who's been playing on the wing, has been scoring lots of goals. He could go up front. And if Sean Maguire goes, he'd be going for a transfer fee, and they have a good chance to get someone in. So yeah, I think it is league over. But Dundalk were in a decent little run. They've lost two, they've won two, and now they've got that draw the other night. So it'll be interesting to see where they go. But we're now going to ask a man who plays for Cork City if the league title is over. He'll be doing his best to beat Shamrock Rovers in Turner's Cross on Friday and to stop their key man, Graham Burke. It's Cork midfielder Greg Bulger, who joins me now on 98FM's League of Ireland podcast. Greg, how are you?
Yeah, good, fine, Jamie. All good.
Greg, it's fair to say things going well in Cork. 5-0 win over Drogheda, 2-1 victory over Sligo midweek there after that. The first drop points against Galway, so back to the norm for you guys, so to speak.
Yeah, look, we obviously drawn up in Galway, kind of put it in our run, but at the same time, you know, I felt probably a draw was the right result, but it was good to get the win then and draw the following few days, like, you know, and we came out and we've done well in that game, and then obviously we had a tough trip up to Sligo. And the last 3 years, I don't think, since I've been in the club, we bet them up there. I think we drew twice up there, and the bet is last year. So we got home, and then obviously this year we won 2-1. It was a tight game, and it was kind of similar to that again up there the other night. But it's great to get back to winning ways, especially after the draw against Galway, and look, long may it continue.
Yeah, having won 12 matches in a row, I know you were an unused sub just coming back in the match against Galway. Was it a strange feeling afterwards not to have won the match?
Yeah, well, like, look, it was, and it wasn't. Look at it that way. I think it was probably a draw was a fair result. Maybe if it was the case where we thought, like, we should have won it or we dominated and stuff. I think it was just one of those nights. It was kind of a scrappy game and it was to and fro. But kind of send that to the lads. Like, look, it's still unbeaten. We've still got a point from it. And look, we mightn't have deserved the win, but obviously we wasn't happy we didn't win. But, you know, you look at it that way. So, look, it's still all good.
Yeah, you swept Drogheda aside then, 5-0. Two for Shawny, two for Carl Shepherd, one for Jimmy Gohan. Some fantastic goals in the match. And I know Drogheda didn't play overly well. They were quite poor at the back, Greg. But that was a fairly comprehensive one to get your winning run back together.
Yeah, that was it. And the boys are fine up top. You know, we know if we can keep us solid at the back and the boys with the quality up front, they're going to do the business, to be fair. Carl's been great this year. And obviously Shawny, and they've got deals as well. But even Jimmy, like in Bucks, and chops and scoring from the midfield, like, great that we have goals from all over the pitch, and, you know, it helps everyone, you know, it helps the team, obviously helps a bit, and obviously with defenders like, you know, Shawny plays top striker in the league, and defenders are probably looking at what he's going to do, and then other boys chip in, you know, elsewhere, so it's good.
I love good sports photos, Greg, and one you posted on social media, I'm not sure if it was Instagram or Facebook, maybe both of you giving Pete Mann a hug, a great photo after the game. Just talk us through what you said in that status.
Yeah, no, look, I have great respect for Pete. Probably the first photo I got with him and since ever, really. But he brought me into UCD when I was last 17. Like, you know, he's the one kind of kick-started my career in the League of Ireland, and I have great respect for him. And obviously, anytime I've seen him, he's been out of the league. He was out of the league for a while and he's back in, but it was kind of the first time got a pick with him, so I had to put it up. And obviously, like, great respect for the man, and he's my kind of person, you know, he's a man's man. And yeah, so that was basically it, really.
Yeah, great photo. And you moved on then to the showgrounds midweek, a 2-1 victory. Kieran Sadler, who's been absolutely fantastic. I saw him against St. Pat's last week, Greg, his best player on the pitch. If Whispers are to be believed he could be a Cork player after the summer. Seanie Maguire proved he's human. Greg missed a penalty, would you believe? Well, you would believe because you were on the pitch.
Yeah. To be fair, he missed one up there last year as well. He was kind of kicking himself. Like, he's like, a showground is not for me. But, no, I said to him, messing after the game, I'm on penalties now if I'm playing for you. But he's having none of it. But, look, he's just human after all.
Yes, Achiel Campion on 64 and Kevin O'Connor, I think direct from a corner. The Soccer Public shots weren't the best, but to get back, having been 1-0 down and to win the game with a set piece late on, you could just see again that hunger and desire in the Cork squad at the final whistle. You were all celebrating that win like it was a cup final.
Yeah, no, to be fair, the way the game went, we started very well first 10-15, we could have probably been maybe one or two up, and then they got a penalty, which I think was a bit dubious, but they got the penalty and they taken a rally for 15 minutes after that, and then we got back into it and we just had a half time look, it's there for us and we'll keep going, and we had a great second half. To be fair, we asked them to defend like numerous amount of times, and to be fair, it was coming, and we're all saying on the pitch, come on, keep going, and we got a goal obviously off Shep, or just scored a goal.
The first goal, like Achiel Campion.
Campion, yeah, came in after Johnny, good work from Johnny, and shut down the wing. Like, so then we got the ball. We knew it was 10-15 left, so we said, look, we go for it here. And obviously it was unfortunate, or it was a goal that was, you think, straight in the corner. I wouldn't mind, we did set pieces the day before and we were doing corners, we were trying to put it in that area, and there was probably about four or five of them from Kev went in like that. So it was funny, but look, it was great. I think we fully deserved the win, and hopefully now going into Friday's game against Rovers is going to be a tough one again, so we need to be ready for that.
Greg, at the start of the season, if I told you were going to be 15 points clear of Dundalk after 15 matches, what would you have said or thought?
I wouldn't have believed it, to be honest. But look, to be fair, we deserve to be where we are. There's not many games that you think like, we were maybe Rovers away. I wasn't at that game, but the boys were saying that that was a tough game, and I think most of the games we deserve to win, you're not going to win. So look, at the start of the year, you wouldn't have said that, and I wouldn't have thought Dundalk would have lost so many games, to be honest. But look, it is what it is, and hopefully we can keep going. And obviously, we have two tough games now, especially with Rovers at home and Dundalk away. If you can get the two wins out of that going into the break, you know, it sets us up nicely going into it and coming back from the break.
Yeah, Greg, I'm just looking at the league table here just to actually physically read out the stats to people. 15 games, 14 wins, 1 draw, no losses. 41 goals scored, 7 goals against. Just to compare that to the next best in the league, the next top goal scorers are Bray with 30. So you've scored 11 more than them. And the best defensive record apart from that's Dundalk with 14. So you've conceded 7 less than them and you're 15 points ahead. So when you put that down on paper, those stats are just so, so good, which proves, I know the other teams have struggled a little bit, but proves why you're at the top and why you're so far ahead. They're incredible stats, really.
They are, it's mad. But, you know, I think it's fair to John, like, he's put that mentality into us. Like, you know, we defend, it's not just the back four, the keeper, number six, it's the whole team, you know. And we have them players that aren't, we have such an honest group that we work so hard, you know. And it's, like I said, it starts from the top with Seanie and we all trigger off. And whoever comes in, the squad has been different players. There's been games there where we have different midfield, we have a different defence, and it's just whoever comes in is just doing the job, and it's great to have that in the dressing room. I probably haven't had that in the dressing room since I've been at clubs and in the League of Ireland. You know, we just such honesty there, and to work hard and will to work is just great, you know. And sure, that's probably the reason why them stats are like that. And obviously then with the goals, but the defensive side, only conceding 7 goals is great, you know.
Yeah, Shamrock Rovers at home in Turner's Cross on Friday, Greg. They don't come much bigger than, apart from probably welcoming Dundalk to your home ground. The Hoops are coming. What's your views and thoughts on the game?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game. Like I said, I wasn't up for the game up in Talla. I was injured, yeah. But I wasn't up for that game. But like by all accounts, the lads are saying it was probably the toughest game, you know. And it's going to be like that again on Friday. But saying that, like, we fancy ourselves against anyone at home. And like, we won't be treating the game any other way. We only know one way to go out and try and win the game, take the game to whatever team comes down, and it's going to be no different. But you know, we're always of quality players as well, Finner and stuff like that. So we look, it's going to be tough, but hopefully we can continue the run.
Yeah, Greg, my favourite ground by far in the league is Turner's Cross. When it's full, it's an incredible place to be as a spectator, as a journalist, as a football player. When you're, I know you've won 14 to 15 as well, so probably the away game similar, but when you're walking out or whatever, you know, out of the shed end, out of your change room for a match, and you've won 14 out of 15 and the place is full and they're all screaming for you, does that make you feel in some way like invincible, unbeatable, that it's an incredible place really to play football?
Yeah, like it is, obviously it helps, you know, but like the crowds have been good over the last year since I've been here. But obviously, because of the run we're on, I think we're bringing more fans out to the games, you know. And like I said, us, that like we obviously need the League of Ireland attendance and that high and stuff. But like we're bringing fans to the games because obviously the hype down here is huge, and rightfully so. Like so, but when you're walking on the pitch, you know, like there's a full crowd there. Like it's great. Like, you know, it's obviously like, you want to play in like that, and every obviously other grounds are different. But if you get that standard, like, you know, in the League of Ireland, going out every week, it'd be so much more like enjoyable. You know, some games you go and just half stadium's not full. You're not going to waste up. But it does. It gives you a big help, and obviously Cork people here are passionate, and it could be onto something. And at the end of the year, you're not going to waste up. Too right, they're coming out.
Yeah, I'm just looking here. Actually, you mentioned the Finn Harps against St Pat's midweek. 380 fans were at the game.
You know what I mean?
When you compare that to what Cork are getting, I know on a midweek night, Cork's attendance will drop a little bit, but it's still, you know, far and away above most other clubs. Greg, Shamrock Rovers, I know you've probably not seen them live yet. What have you made of them? They've been a little bit hot and cold. They had two great wins in a row. I was at both games. They played very well against Dundalk and against Bohemians. They then lost to Derry quite controversially, and then had a good win midweek against Galway. So they've been kind of hard to predict how they're going to play and if they're going to win or lose each week.
Yeah, really, look at it, like the first team badly. You've brought in a few good few players, and it's probably need a bit of time to gel. It's been a lot of change there. You're not going to win. Obviously, Steve, and then like bringing in numerous different players from different teams and stuff is probably going to take time. But as you see now, like, you know, they're a match for anyone. Like, I watched the game Saturday against Dundalk. They're unlucky for sending off, but there was nothing between them, you know. And like I said again, like up there, they gave us probably our toughest game. So like, we're under no illusions when Friday comes. It's going to be a very tough game, and I think it'll be tight. I think it might be won't be a goal or two, but or just be a goal, it'll be the odd goal. But look, you know, it's hard because it's hard to judge because we've done so well, and the other teams there's nothing in between, like Dundalk down to Limerick, you know, that kind of way. So it's kind of hard to judge, but we know we're definitely going to be in a game Friday anyway.
Yeah, I spoke to Stephen Bradley after the game earlier in the season in Dublin when you guys won it quite late, and he called Cork a so-called great team, which a lot of the Cork fans weren't impressed with on Twitter. And he spoke to us earlier on the podcast today, and he said that he felt that lots of teams roll over for Cork. I'm sure Shamrock Rovers won't roll over for you, Greg, but do you feel that some teams this season have rolled over for you?
I don't think so. Like, not in a way. We come out, like I said earlier there, we come out early and we make teams defend, you know what I mean? We ask questions at our defence, we get the ball up quick as we can, a high tempo game. That's the way we play down here. And you know, sometimes we score earlier too, and my heads might drop on the other team, but I wouldn't say teams roll over. You're not going to waste, obviously coming out to Turner's Cross, like you said, probably a tough venue for teams coming down here, you know, with the crowd and on their backs and stuff like that, and stadium and stuff. But no, I wouldn't say they roll over. It's just the fact that with the pressure we put on teams, we ask teams to defend, you know, we get the ball up early, get the balls in behind, you know, and it's tough for other teams, especially when you have quality players up in the three we have with Dills and Shawnee and Shep. So yeah, I wouldn't say they roll over. But look, like I said, it's still early in the season. It's not even halfway there, you know, so we can't get carried away. And look, no teams are going to be rolling over from here on in, you know.
A really exciting midfield duel, I suppose, to look forward to on Friday, Greg. If Shamrock Rovers picked their first choice midfield three, it'll more likely be Dave McAllister, Ronan Finn, with Graham Burke in the number 10 role. And if you're playing the number 6 for Cork, you'll face an interesting one with him. He's been in really great form, scored a really good goal in Derry, and as I say, I've seen Rovers a couple of times, and he's settled in very well to the League of Ireland, and maybe Mr. Bulger might need to hit him with a tackle.
Ah yeah, that's it, hopefully. But no, look, obviously I've played with Finn before, and you know the quality he has, like one of the top midfielders in the league, and it's always good to play against probably the best players, you know. And every time you go out and play against them, it's good, you know, you're going to be in a game and you're going to have to be at your best, you know, that's the way. But you know, seeing the quality he has, only the goal the other night was great. Like, so we're going to be ready. Whatever three we pick in there, it's going to be a tough battle. That's where the win and the losing of the game is going to be, you know.
Greg Bulger, where will you be on Friday the 2nd of June at 7:45?
Friday 2nd of June. What do you mean?
Where will you be at that time?
Turner's Cross, bud, will it?
You won't. You'll be in Oriel Park facing Dundalk.
Oh,
in a game
right.
I'm looking forward to so much. With what happened with Cork winning all the games, with the war of words between the two managers, John and Stephen, and with the gap being so high, Greg, I know you're focused on Rovers now, but that's going to be some game to look forward to in a couple of weeks' time. The last game before you all head off on your holidays as well.
Yeah, but like I said, Friday, take care of Friday first, and I'm worrying about that. But that'll take care of itself. But obviously it's a game to look forward to. But Rovers coming down is just as big. Every game, rest away, the kind of mentality is down here. Every game is just as big as each other. So look, we'll take care of Friday first, and we'll go from there.
Greg Bulger, thanks a million. The best of luck on Friday.
Yeah, no problem, Jamie.
That's Cork's Greg Bulger. The other big game in the League of Ireland this Friday night is at Richmond Park. It's St Pat's against Dundalk. So Dundalk obviously need a result in that game if they're going to close that gap. Like I said, they're up against the champions elect Cork. Kick off at Richmond Park at 7:45. We're going to preview that game now with that former Saint himself, who's now scoring goals for fun for the league champions Dundalk. Jamie McGrath is on 98FM's League of Ireland podcast.
Jamie McGrath, welcome to 98FM's League of Ireland podcast. How are you?
Not too bad, Jay, yourself?
Great, thanks, Jamie. Not bad at all. Jamie is here to look ahead to a couple of big games coming up for Dundalk before the mid-season break and back on the scoreless draw in midweek at home to Derry City, and two good wins before that over Sligo 4-0 and Limerick 3-0 as well. Jamie as well, of course, looking ahead to visiting his old club, St Pat's, in Richmond Park this coming Friday at 7:45. Jamie, first of all, the midweek game on Tuesday evening, a scoreless draw at home to Derry. You started the game. What was it like?
Yeah, it was a pretty uneventful game, to be honest. There wasn't an abundance of chances created, really. Kind of a stalemate. Both teams kind of cancel each other out. So, yeah, we were on good form. We built good momentum going into the game. We had two good wins, like you said. And just, it was one of them games where nothing really happened.
Yeah, having scored the 7 goals in the previous two matches and kept 2 clean sheets, it's a 3rd clean sheet in a row in the league. But we are quite disappointed not to be able to make a 3rd win, especially with the distance you're trying to make up to Cork.
Well, we're not really looking at that gap at the minute. We're just trying to get as many points as we can ourselves and see where that takes at the end of the year. But like you said, 2 good wins. We were looking to make a 3, go on a bit of a run, build a bit of momentum, but unfortunately it didn't happen. So just going to have to look ahead to Friday night.
Yes, indeed. And you had a really good win the previous Friday in Limerick. 3-0, Dave McMillan scored twice, Sean Gannon as well, and helped by one of your former teammates, Brendan Clark, getting himself sent off. But that was a really good win to follow the 4-0 over Sligo, and after those couple of defeats in a row as well, it must have been really nice to win those 2 games, scoring 7 and conceding 0.
Yeah, the main thing was clean sheets. We've kind of been leaking kind of soft goals recently, so the gaffer was onto us about trying to keep as many clean sheets as we can. Luckily enough, we kept a clean sheet last night as well, but the other end, we didn't really create enough. We didn't really have any clear-cut chances. And yeah, it was good to get them wins by such nice margins, but like clean sheets were probably the most important thing there, yeah.
Jamie, let's go back to the previous big win in the league, 4-0 over Sligo. Hat-trick for yourself, 54-74, and a late penalty in the 92nd minute. Talk us through your hat-trick, and you took the match ball home.
Yeah, it was first senior hat-trick, so I was delighted with that. And obviously my first league goals at Dundalk, so yeah, it was nice to get them all at once. But, I played a good few games before that and things didn't go my way. And luckily on my night, that was the night and they went everything for me. Like first one, 1-on-1 with the keeper, put it through his legs. And second goal, just hit it full of confidence and lucky enough went in. And then the third one, Penno, I was brought down for it and the lad said, you take it and get your hat-trick. So yeah, lucky enough I went in and I brought the match ball home with me, yeah.
Yes, because I was going to ask you, were you the penalty taker on the list on the dressing room wall before the match? And what you're telling me is you weren't, but because you'd scored the 2 and you were 3 up and won the penno, the lad said, go on, just go and take it.
Yeah, it's normally killer's luck, like, so killer goes to me, you can take it, get your hat-trick. So yeah, I was delighted that you gave me the chance. I've been practicing hard all year so far on penalties, just in case the opportunity arose, and lucky enough it went in, yeah.
I think it's probably a fair comment to say, Jamie, that hat-trick had been coming. You'd had a couple of really good performances in the build-up to that game, and from your own point of view, everything just clicked.
Yeah, I started to settle well into the team. Obviously coming in as a new player, difficult to adapt and stuff. You just have to find your feet, and the performances were getting gradually better as I played more games, so yeah, it was nice to get on the score sheet, and then lucky enough they all came at once, so yeah, it was nice.
What sort of things have you had to consider with the adaptation to moving from St Pat's to Dundalk, Jamie? What sort of maybe differences have you found, and the experience overall of being a full-time player in Dundalk in comparison to playing for St Pat's for the previous number of years?
Maybe an element of pressure, but I'm not really looking into that too much. There's a the fan base is obviously small but bigger, getting bigger attendances every week. So everybody out's coming to see the champions. And so there's that side of it, but I'm not really bogged down on the pressure. I'm just trying to enjoy my football. And obviously the squad is very, very competitive quality right throughout it. So you have to be on top of your game and take your chance when you get it.
Yeah, we hear all the time about that competitive edge in both the Cork squad and the Dundalk squad as well, Jamie. Just talk to me a little bit about that and maybe the pressure, not just from the fans and in the title race, but the pressure within the squad to train properly, be in the gym enough and you know, make sure that everybody is on top of each other on the training pitch, which has a knock-on effect into the matches.
Yeah, the dedication levels are very high, especially at our club. You're expected to do your most to benefit the team. You're expected to do your own gym sessions, your own bits and pieces to be on top of your form. Like, so yeah, there's an element to that where you have to be on your form all the time. Or like I said, the squad's very there's a lot of depth in the squad, so if you're not on top of your game, like, there's a person who can do equally as good a job of you.
Yeah, and it's the first time, Jamie, in your own career that you're in a team that's expected to go and win the league, which Dundalk are. And when the season started, that big win over Shamrock Rovers on the opening night all looked good, and things have gone, I suppose, it's been mixed since then. Do you, when you're thinking, when you're playing the games, do you realise the pressure you guys are under to win every single match now? And I suppose when you come in on a Friday night or a Tuesday night, to straight away look at live score and see how Cork have done?
Yeah, well, fighting at the top end of the table, it's very difficult. Like, you're expected to win or get points from every game you play in, so you have to set yourself high standards. We set ourselves high standards in training. If you're not doing the work you're supposed to be doing on your own, be it gym or whatever, there's lads who's equally as good as you can come in and do a equally as good as job as you. So it's up to yourself to keep yourself up to date and up to scratch, and make sure the gaffer has a you give the gaffer a great choice to pick you every week. So yeah.
Jamie, I think you're probably in an ideal position to answer this question, having played for St. Pat's last season against Dundalk and now playing for Dundalk. It's 5 league defeats in 15 games so far this season. There was only 6 in the whole of last season. And can you put your finger on why that might be? I know the manager, Stephen Kenny, has spoken about his disappointment about the away form particularly.
Yeah, away form, we've been sloppy. Like I said, we've leaked kind of soft goals. And it's something that we're trying to work on at the minute, trying to eradicate. So we have 3 clean sheets in our last 3, I think, maybe 4. So we're working hard on that. But there's no easy games in this league. Like, going away from home, it's always going to be a tough one, no matter who you play. So yeah, we're just going to have to try and eliminate them results if we want to try and reduce the lead at the top. Yeah,
that next away trip is to your old club, Richmond Park, to play St. Pat's on Friday. Jamie, what's your thoughts on heading back to play your old team?
Yeah, I've known but good memories up in Richmond. 2 or 3 great years up there. Obviously Liam was very good to me. He gave me a great chance at such a young age, playing in such a good team, like with the likes of Bulger, Forrester, Fagan. It was great to pick up experience like at such a young age, and it really stood to me. So I've nothing but praise for Pats, and I'm looking forward to going back up there Friday night, but hopefully we can take the 3 points, yeah.
Yeah, your focus, of course, will be on trying to win the game, Jamie. Have you seen much of your former team this season? What have you made of them, and what do Dundalk need to do to win the match?
Well, we've people out watching, so we'll know what to expect coming on Friday night. I've only really seen clips on Soccer Republic. I haven't really got to a game yet, so Darren Markey's doing very well at the minute, so that's good to see. So we're going to have to watch out for little Darren there. So.
Yeah, he would have been one of your former mates in midfield as well. He's been doing quite well for St. Pat's. They're coming off the back of a point. I was at the game against Sligo and Richmond last Friday. Fantastic game. Could have really been 5-5. Loads of chances for both teams. And then they were beaten 3-1 in Finn Harps on midweek on Monday night. So they'd be looking to react, Jamie. What do you expect from the game itself against a St. Pat's team who you personally know very well?
Yeah, I don't think they deserve to be down where they are. Fighting the league table doesn't give them any justice. They're a great footballing team. Liam likes to have his teams well drilled, well playing football, passing out from the back. So they have quality right throughout the team. And like I said, I don't think the league table does them justice. So we know it's going to be far from easy on Friday night, and they're well going to be up for it.
Of course, as will your team, Jamie. And one of your main men has been Dave McMillan in the last two matches. He scored twice in Limerick, two very good goals, one from the penalty spot as well. And he's, I think, missed a little part of the season himself. And Kieran Kilduff have been sharing the games and the goals. But Dave's another former St. Pat's man. And in fairness to him and Kieran, they've both been very consistent for Dundalk over the last couple of seasons. And hopefully they'll be able to fire you some goals in the coming weeks and months to try and close that gap.
Yeah, Davey's been on fire the last few weeks. He only needs a slight opportunity and he'll put it away. Like, he's a very clinical finisher, as a killer. The competition just is summed up in that position, like two quality players fighting for only really one spot. Scaffer likes to only play one striker, so both of them are equally as good as one another. Like, they both only need one chance and they're clinical, like, so. Yeah, hopefully Davey or Killer can do the job for us over the next few weeks. Yeah.
Jamie, the manager Stephen Kenny has, you know, led the club to three league titles in a row, the couple of FAI Cups and you know, that unbelievable European journey last season. How have you found him to play under, having played against him for many years? Everybody speaks about his man management style as well, but I think people underestimate his actual physical knowledge of the game, of opposition players and of how he wants his team set up to win each match.
Yeah, he's very tactical aware. Like, his knowledge of the game is second to none. Like, he's very, very clever when it comes to things like tactics and things like that. And man management, he's brilliant. Like, he puts his arm range and gives you a kick up the backside if you're not putting it in, you know. I think one thing they know is he doesn't let complacency sit in. So you think you're doing great, and then he has a little word in your ear, keeps you kind of going, keeps you motivated. Doesn't let you get comfortable, and that's good to have. Like,
Jamie, you can say the word arse on a podcast if you want.
I don't know if I could. So.
Yes, you can. Don't worry about that. Just finally, from a personal point of view, people may not know that you did a scholarship in Maynooth through St. Pat's, and you've been combining a football career up to, at least you moved to Dundalk with college. Just talk us through that, and it's a route a lot of League of Ireland players are taking now. We know UCD are renowned for it too, but you've been through that. Just explain to us what you did and the basis it gives you if football doesn't happen to work out.
I've actually just finished my 3-year business a management degree there on Monday. I had my last exam. So it was a chaos of 2 weeks trying to get them 5 exams done, and I'm playing 3 or 4 games as well. So yeah, I think in this day and age it's the right route to go down. You see lads going away at 15, 16 having high expectations and thinking they're going to be the ones to make it, and then they're back by the time they're 18, 19 with nothing. So I reckon it's the right route to go down. In saying that, it's difficult to manage full-time college work with full-time football. But I reckon it's the right route to go down, yeah.
And now with the exams done, Jamie, and hopefully a degree in your back pocket, is the plan to give the football a proper go for the next few years and see where that takes you?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to take a break anyway for the next year or two. I've been flat out since the leaving cert, trying to juggle football and full-time football and full-time studies, so it's going to be a nice little break just to get away from it. So yeah, I'm just going to dedicate myself next year or two on football and see what happens.
Jamie McGrath, thanks a million.
No bother, Jay.
Yeah, great chatting to Jamie McGrath, one of the men to watch in the League of Ireland this season. And Derek, it's fair to say lots of men, including League of Ireland managers, are watching the league table, and it's a little bit tight at the bottom.
It is indeed, and it's pretty tight for St. Pat's as well. I mean, I was looking at the table on Tuesday morning after the result on Monday night. They obviously lost 3-1 on Monday night, and I was like, oh, they're you know, they're ninth in the table, so they're kind of around mid table. But obviously, 3 go down this season, which is the kind of massive point. And also, they are ninth in the table, but they're level on points with the team that are bottom. There are 4 teams on 14 points at the bottom of the table at the moment. Finn Harps, problem at the table, they're in 12th place with 14. Sligo Rovers just above them. Galway and St. Pat's just above them as well. Drogheda are on mighty 15, 1 point ahead. And then Bohemians are on 16 points. So there is, what, 6 teams all within 2 points of each other. You could jump from 12th to 7th with one win pretty much in the League of Ireland at the moment. So it's very, very tight down there. And yeah, Pats are in a bit of bother, as are Bows. I mean, there's a lot of teams kind of worrying down there at the moment. Like I say, 3 teams going down this year, which is the big thing, because if there was only 2, you kind of have a bit less pressure, I suppose, on you. But those 3 teams going down is going to be a big thing for the rest of the season.
Yes, and if it gets to the final third of games with 5 or 6 teams within a win or 2 of each other, it will get so nervy. But that, I know there's no real battle at the top of the table. There is a battle for Europe, but the battle at the bottom will be the fascinating part of this season, because there's no playoffs in the first division either. One team coming up, although there is a race for the title there. But the battle at the bottom, with three going down from six or seven teams around there currently, will be fascinating.
Yeah, like you say, you know, we've spoken already about the fact that the league title seems to be wrapped up in Cork's favour, and that is something that we've had over the last couple of years, a bit of a league race, or certainly, you know, it looked like Cork are going to close it in Dundalk. Maybe they didn't towards the end, but that looks like it's over this season. But certainly the bottom of the table, like I say, six teams within between 16 points and 14 points, three of them are going to go down. Another couple could be ahead of them as well. I mean, like, Limerick are in sixth place, literally at mid-table with 20 points. They're only 6 points ahead of the bottom team, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of teams that could still get dragged into that. Shamrock Rovers in 22, you'd have to think they'd have enough quality to not get dragged into that. But certainly a lot of teams that could get dragged into that relegation battle, because, like I said, three teams go down and there's, what, 14 points, 10 points separating fourth place and last place in the table at the moment.
Yeah, because I think, looking at the league table, I think towards the end of the season there might be one team that's gone towards the end.
Yeah.
But I think all the other teams, or maybe even if there's a second team gone, but once that third spot is open and there's three or four teams nearby, it just makes it so nervy. And it would be so interesting. There were reports last week in the Goals Pullout in the Sun about a possible league restructure, where after the first two series of games, they split the league in two, like to do in Scotland. The top six play each other again and the bottom six play each other again. And if that was to be the case this season, there'd be some games with the bottom six against each other in that last third of games, wondering, like, we need to win a few games to...
I'm not a fan of that in Scotland, to be honest. I've never been a fan of that. In terms of, you know, a team that's, for example, sixth and seventh, at the moment there's 4 points separating them, but sometimes it's literally goal difference separating them, and you could get dumped into the bottom half of the table and the kind of relegation battle based on goal difference alone with a third of the season to go. So I'm not a big fan of that. I can understand why it'd make games more exciting, because obviously the bottom half teams are playing each other a lot more, but still I'm just not a fan of it.
Now, there is a new gaffer in the SSE Artricity League. His name is Neil MacDonald. He led Athlone. He led Athlone? Why does my script say he led Athlone? He's not the Athlone manager.
You wrote
That's
your script
Collins.
There, Jay.
I wrote my own script. Who's my script writer? Sack him, quick. Yeah. He led Limerick to a 2-1 win over Bowes at Dalymore Park on Tuesday. And we are very much delighted to welcome him to 98FM's League of Ireland podcast now. Neil MacDonald, how are you?
I'm excellent, thank you. We had a long journey back from the game last night, but we've got 3 points and a really good performance. So it's put a spring in my step, which is great, and looking forward to the game next Friday against Finn Harps.
Yes, Neil, a big win last night over Bohemians, 2-1 at Dalymun Park. You were put ahead in the 16th minute through Rodrigo Tossi. Bowes equalised through Georgie Poynton, and then an own goal from Daniel Byrne with 8 minutes left secured your first win, Neil. So job done, I suppose.
Yes, it was. It's always nice to get the first victory when a new manager comes into the club, because hopefully that'll just reaffirm what I've been trying to say in the couple of sessions and a couple of meetings that I've had with the players. And that all bodes well for the rest of the season. And we can only improve, hopefully. And that's what we're trying to do, just trying to improve to win football matches, because they haven't won many games in the last few games. And it was important to get that first victory as quick as we can, as I say, with a new manager coming in. And that'll give the players lots and lots of confidence.
Neil, how did you find your first real League of Ireland experience? I know you were a fly on the wall as such alongside Willie Boland in that defeat to Dundalk last Friday, but this was the first time where you've had a little bit more time with the players to build up to the game.
Yeah, that's right. I think the first game obviously come along very quickly. Willie picked the team and we both coached from the sidelines. It was difficult against the champions, knowing that we were down to 10 men after 18 minutes. Conceded a penalty and a goal just before half-time, but had a good response off the players with the second half. We changed the system a little bit and tried to counter-attack. But Dundalk are a very good team. That's why they were champions last year. The passer moved the ball really well, and they certainly finished really well on that day. But, you know, we come together again for the Bohemians game, and they took the information on board. We had a couple of little training sessions, which is good, leading up to that. So the preparation was okay. And a fine performance, and they certainly implemented on what I tried to tell them over that couple of sessions, and they got through the job excellent to give us our first victory in a while.
Neil, how, from your own viewpoint as a coach and a manager, you've spent a lot of time as an assistant manager and a first team coach, you're now the manager. What sort of manager are you? Are you the man who's on the training pitch all the time, taking all the parts of the session? They leave that to your coaches. And how happy are you that you've been able to have a couple of sessions and at least get some of your ideas into the players' heads already?
No, I'm a coach. I like to be on the training field to try to find out what the lads are all about and what their strengths and weaknesses are and how we can exploit the strengths and weaknesses of the opposition. So it'll be hands-on job, that's for sure. And as I said to you before, the couple of sessions that we've done with the players, they've taken that on board and they've got their just rewards, obviously, last night. So we look forward to having lots more coaching sessions and trying to improve the players so they understand and how I want to play. How I want to play, winning football is the best way to describe it. We certainly want to have the supporters on the end of the seat excited the way we're playing, trying to create chances, which is easy to say, but that's the hardest thing to do in a football match, and making sure that we're competing. And we'll be working flat out all the way through for the rest of the season and on beyond to try and achieve that.
Of course, the main thing, Neil, is results and wins. And the previous manager, Martin Russell, left the club. And I think one of the reasons he left was because the owner, Pat O'Sullivan, was a little bit concerned at Martin playing out from the back. And there was one game away to St. Pat's in Richmond Park where they were risking the ball at the back, and the chairman, the owner, wasn't too pleased with it. Are you aware of the owner, you know, wanting results first and foremost, and he doesn't probably care if you're kicking the ball long from goal kicks or playing through the thirds?
Well, I think every owner wants to win, don't they? That's why they're involved in the football club. So it's just trying to find a balance of trying to play some good football and trying to have the balance and not playing in the wrong areas and getting caught out. And if there's a little bit of a stalemate, then having a couple of things up your sleeve, either to change the system or to try and score from a set player or a corner or something like that. So, you know, all aspects of trying to coach a team is trying to win no matter how you do it. And it's just trying to find a fine balance on how to get that result.
Yes, a long trip ahead of you, Neil, on Friday night away to Finn Harps. Have you been briefed on what to expect up there? It's not a very good pitch and a very long trip, I think, before the team have gone overnight. Will that be the plan again?
Well, it certainly is a long trip. And the pitch is, if the pitch is good or indifferent or whatever, it's both for the same team. So you have to adjust to that. I'll have watched a couple of videos on Finn Harps themselves. They had a good win the other day. And we'll be ready for them. We'll know the strengths and weaknesses, and we'll try and do exactly what we did against Bohemians, was trying to stop them from playing and express ourselves when we got the ball. And we're looking forward to the game after a good win the other night, and trying to progress that against Finn Harps on Friday night. We're looking forward to the game.
Yeah, Finn Harps, our last home game. They beat St. Pat's very well, 3-1 as well on Monday. And their manager, Ollie Horgan, Neil, was in the stand in Dalyman Park in his socks, would you believe, watching your team last night. What do you think he will have made of your Limerick in your first proper match?
I'm not 100% sure. He'll have seen certainly a different formation. He'll have seen a team that's galvanised, hopefully. And he'll have seen a team that created lots and lots of chances. To score 2 goals out of the 12 chances that we had, considering we didn't have many chances against Dundalk. So even in the short term, if you look at the team performance, there's lots to be happy about and lots to be encouraged. And hopefully he's a little bit more worried than what he would have been a few weeks ago if he's watched our team.
Of course. And Neil, we're coming close to the summer break now. What's the immediate aim? I think there's 3 games to go, including the next match before the league breaks for the summer. Is it a case of trying to pick up some points and maybe also get as many sessions on the pitch as you can to, again, get the players in your mind frame?
Well, yes. Coaching and on the field to understand what makes the players tick is vitally important. It's also vitally important for them to try and get the gist on what I'm going to try and do and how I'm going to try and play. The 3 games leading up to the break are vitally important, that we pick up as many points as we possibly can, so we're in a good position coming into after the break, playing the team that are at the top of the league and we're unbeaten this season. So as many points as we possibly can, and good performances again to keep that confidence high is the main aim over the next few weeks leading into the break, and then have the break and then come back ready and raring to go, even stronger than what we were going into the break before.
What's your assessment, Neil, being of the squad currently at your disposal in the games I've seen this season? The midfield 3 certainly of Shane Duggan, Lee Lynch and Paul O'Connor have been very, very strong. Big Rodrigo up front is not a very common League of Ireland striker, but looks brilliant in the air, links the game really well, and you've got the pace of Dean Clark certainly on the left or right as well, which gives you some good options to play short through midfield or play a little bit longer.
Well, the options are there, yes. I'm still getting to know the players. I don't know every single player just yet, and obviously I don't know what the strongest team is, but
I'd like to think I picked a quite a good team last night to get a good result, and certainly a fantastic performance by everybody. They gave it everything they had, and it was a victory that was well deserved. It wasn't lucky. So it gives us heart and determination, as I say, to try and to improve and to get to know each other a lot more, so we can work things out even better.
Neil, a simple question. Why Limerick for you?
Why Limerick for me? First of all, I like working. I like being involved in football. I'm certainly not, I haven't got the ego where the only place I want to work is in the Premiership. I've been about. I've worked in the all the divisions in the Football League and English football. I went to Sweden. I've been to Jordan. I'm quite diverse in what I want to try and do, and I want to be on a training field with the players. And this was an opportunity that come about after speaking to the hierarchy at the football club. They've sold the club to me and how they want to progress and where they want to get to. And it's certainly achievable, but it's only achievable by hard work and smart decisions. And I'm looking forward to the challenge.
Neil, I think your contract is to the end of the 2019 season, if I'm not mistaken, which is this season plus two more. So the fact that the club and Pat O'Sullivan have given you that contract and you've signed it means you're both in this for a long-term plan as such.
Yes, I'm here for the long term. You know, the club obviously would like to compete to win the league, which is understandable. And obviously they want to try and get back to Europe, where they've been in the past and had great times. So that's a fantastic project, as well as not just the first team, but building the club up from a youth level all the way through to the first team level. I want to be involved in that as well. So the project is there. Short term, yes, is to win football matches and to compete in the league. But the second part of that is to progress the club to a level that they've never been to before. And I look forward to trying to help them to get there.
Is it fair to say, Neil, that a push for Europe this season is something that yourself, the players, the fans, and certainly the owner wants?
Well, certainly, yes. I think they would love that. But let's not forget, with a newly promoted team coming into a league that so far what I've seen is a decent league. They've got some good players and some good teams, and we have to try and compete with them as much as we possibly can. So let's not sprint before we can walk, or whatever that saying is. And let's build up as we go along, and let's see where it takes us. But most of all, with a newly promoted team, you have to make sure that you're in the league next year. We're in not a bad position to try and push forward. If we can do that and compete with the top teams, that's an extra bonus, and that's certainly something that everybody wants to do.
Yeah, currently 6 points ahead of that dreaded bottom three, Neil. I know Limerick would be hoping to be up towards the top four instead of the bottom three towards the end. In terms of what you've learned about the league since you've come, Neil, and maybe, you know, what experience you may have had from watching from a distance before, what have you seen over the last week to 10 days since you've taken the job, and what did you know about the league before you came here, if anything at all?
If I'm being honest, not really knew anything about the league, to be fair, but I think I'm a quick learner. I'll get out to watch the games, and we've already played two games in a short space of time, so that gives us an idea what the league is about. We've played the champions, and that sets the tone, so I look forward to the challenge. Many challenges ahead to try and compete against, and them challenges I'm really looking forward to. So I look forward to the future.
Neil, how important will it be for your staff, all currently who are on Martin Russell's staff, and I know Willie Bowden was in charge in the caretaker period. He's the academy director as well. The fact that maybe your knowledge of the league right now isn't what you wanted to be, as you said, you are a quick learner, that you use them for opposition analysis, but also maybe to give you ideas on players in Ireland who you may look to sign or bring in the window.
Yes, of course, we have to try and use as many contacts as we possibly can, and the staff have been fantastic so far. Just been here a week, they've given us all the information that I need. I've tried to explain on how I'm going to try and do things and how I'm going to try and go about, and I need everybody's help because you can't do it yourself. So I look forward to taking the information on and using their experience in all types of football, in all areas of football. And if we can pinch people from Ireland who've already played in the league, that's brilliant. If we can pinch a few from further far afield, that's excellent, by using my contacts. And the players that we've got to bring in, obviously got to try and improve the squad. And in reality, if I bring somebody across, they've got to go straight in the team to improve the team. So that's the hardest part of football, but something that we'll give 100% to, and we'll certainly be trying hard to improve the squad wherever they come from.
It's certainly something that not too many League of Ireland clubs have done, Neil, and I'm not sure if you're aware of the history of Sligo Rovers, but in the last number of years they've had three. They've had Paul Cook, who's now of course doough so well at Portsmouth. They've had Ian Barraclough, and more recently as well Dave Robertson, UK based managers who have brought in a lot of players who they know from further afield, as you said. Is that something you're definitely looking to do if the right players become available in the UK or further away, to try and bring them in to help your team?
Well, yes, of course, but at the same time I've watched the 17s and 19s train, so You want a fine balance between having your own players coming through, and that's certainly what the club want to do in the future, produce their own players. We have a few players who are obviously come through the ranks anyway and in the first team squad, and Barry Cotter, just to mention one of them, has played the two games that I've been here. So we can't produce our own, but if we can add a little bit of experience as well as youth from either here or abroad or wherever we're going to get them, It's building that team spirit and team bonding and understanding the role and responsibility and how I want to play to try and get the victories to push to where we want to get to. So all avenues open.
Neil, just a final quick two questions on the club overall, and I know you've only been there for a week, but a fantastic new stadium in the Markets Field, which has taken a long time for the club to get, the training facility currently using in Limerick University, but I know that the club are in the process of trying to build their own base too, and some good underage teams with the 15 starting this August as well. Was that one of the selling points too for you, that the potential down there, if things go well for the first team with all the other structures in place, is very, very high?
Yeah, that was a great attraction after speaking to Pat and to Kieran, how they portrayed the club and how they see the club going forward. That's always been an interest of mine. I haven't always just been involved in first team, whichever club I've been at. I've obviously been a youth team coach myself all the way through to a first team manager. So I know how to treat and how to try and develop players all the way through, and then obviously progress them as a senior professional. And that was a big draw for me. Not many times do you get an opportunity to develop and progress a football club by giving a long-term project, and it's certainly a project that really excites me, and that's why I came.
And from your own point of view, Neil, you've moved to live in the Limerick area. What have you made of it so far? Have you found any nice spots for a coffee or a walk, or you probably haven't had much time yet with all the games?
No, I've had no time whatsoever. I haven't caught my breath as of yet. I will be looking around as quick as I possibly can to try and find a base, and I'm sure I'll get round and have a look at the place. The place looks good from a distance, and I look forward to experiencing that over the 2.5 years when I'm here.
That is the voice of the brand new Limerick manager, Neil McDonald. Neil, appreciate your time. Really interesting to have a chat to you. The best of luck on Friday in Finn Harps and with your 2.5 years at the club. Thanks, Neil.
Good stuff. Thanks. Good to talk to you. All the best. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Now, I had the pleasure of sitting down with former Dundalk and now Preston and Ireland star Andy Boyle earlier in the week. The majority of that interview was on there. That's What I Call Sport on Sunday morning. Shameless plug, Derek, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. every Sunday, isn't that correct?
Great show as well, yeah.
Great show, thanks very much. Derek works on the show, so you'd wonder why he was saying that. But here's the bit we kept for 98FM's League of Ireland podcast. On the League of Ireland, the possibility of Cork's super striker Sean Maguire joining himself and Darrell Horgan at Preston was our first topic for discussion. One man who we think, and I think will definitely be your teammate come July, is Sean Maguire. My report suggests he's going to, or has signed, or will sign a 3-year deal with Preston, Andy. I know you probably can't tell me if he has or if he hasn't, but do you think he's a type of player who, if he did move to the Championship and to Preston, could do well because he's done brilliant here?
Yeah, he certainly can. I played with Sean for a short period, I suppose, at Dundalk, and you can see then he's a really good player, and he's gone on and he's proved that at Cork. He's got a bit of everything, to be fair to him. Or playing against him was, you know you're in for a tough game, and I think if he does move, it's obviously, don't really like talking about players leaving that are still at clubs, and but he'd be a good addition to any team, and where he ends up, or if he stays to the end of the season, he's, all I know is that Sean's he's a really good player, and he'll be an addition to any side.
You've played with him for a short time. I know he didn't play too much with Dundalk, but the last year, particularly when he was at Cork, he would have scored the winner against you guys, unfortunately for you, in the cup final. I was right behind that goal, and as it deflected in, I knew it was in, and off he went to celebrate. What do you think he could add to a team if he does move to the UK? Because he's got goals here consistently, but I'm sure it's more difficult to get them at that level.
Yeah, I think, as I said, don't want to be disrespectful to Cork, or, but as you said, he's a really good player. He's got a bit of everything. He can run in behind, he can play into feet, and obviously his goal scoring record is excellent. And I'm sure, given the chance, he could score goals at another level again.
Has he asked you for any advice about Enton and Preston? I know I was at the game against Pats when he didn't actually play too well that night, but Simon Grayson and Peter Ridsdale were in the crowd watching, and that's when the kind of rumour mill started, and it's continued.
Yeah, well, I suppose you wouldn't be too sure who were there to watch. So I just, that's as much as I want to say. You know.
The smirk on your face tells me everything I need to know. Just finally, Andy, on the move overall and what it says for you, Daryl, the League of Ireland, Sean, if he goes, others of Richie Tell have gone and things maybe haven't worked out in terms of the amount of games that they've wanted. What does it say about, I know the top teams and Dundalk and the European run and whatever else, but just that process that you've been through, having played, I'm not sure how many games, I don't have in front of me, but I would think 100 plus for Dundalk, or maybe more, winning leagues, playing in Europe, moving over and getting into that team, about the pathway through and the fact that you waited and maybe had to wait till you're a little bit older to go.
Yeah, I think that's, to be fair, the league doesn't get the credit it deserves. I've always said that there's plenty of players in without the league that over the last couple of years that could have went, and probably, I don't know if the right word is a bit snobby towards the league, that there is more players that could go and play at that level over there. Obviously this championship is full of top players, and but I think English managers probably should look to the league a bit more, and there's a lot of unearthed gems really in the league, and who knows, you just need that chance, you need that break, and when you go over, and you've got to take it.
One thing your old team, the Dock, have to do is try and catch Cork. I know you've been keeping an eye on things back here. You were with Graham this morning. It's a big gap, and Cork have just been unstoppable so far. How much have you been keeping an eye on it, and do you feel your old club and your old manager are up for the task of being the chasers, having been the leaders for the last number of years?
Yeah, definitely I do. Dundalk have got so many good players, and I've been keeping an eye every week, as much as when it's on the telly and trying to watch it through a link or wherever it is. But I think fair play to Cork, they've been on an amazing run. But I think if there's any team in the league that over the last couple of years they can catch them, it's Dundalk, and I'm sure they'll be able to put a good run together and bridge the gap. And it's probably different now for Cork leading it. It's always different leading. They're kind of looking out to see what the results when you're on top. But it looks fair play to Cork. They've done really well so far.
And in terms of Stephen, the manager, I spoke to him after they lost 2 weeks ago in Tala, didn't play well, beating 2-1. And he was just talking about the away form being so bad, and every match they've won at home, and unfortunately for you, they now have a good pitch, the Astros being there. How will he handle it? Because he's, again, like the players, been used to winning all the time, and now he's not, and they had the little, him and John Coffin had the little spat, and it's a race now that he's going to have to try and play catch up with as the manager.
Yeah, I think so Stephen Kenny's always been brilliant for my career, and I think there's a manager in the league that can do it. He's wonderful man manager, and he can rally players, and that's what I'm sure he'll be doing.
Andy Boyle, Derek in the Ireland squad for these games coming up, and along with Daryl Horgan, you would think Daryl being an attacking player may have more of a chance to be in the team for the competitive game, but as Andy said there, he feels that what they've done and what others have done, the likes of Chris Forrester and Alan Brown in the squad too, shows that there is more people in the League of Ireland. I would name a couple. Patrick McElhenney at Dundalk has been doing so well. There's other players in the league, obviously Sean, who've been doing so well, and it's great to see the lads now consistently in the Ireland squad.
Yeah, that's why it's kind of frustrating to see Maguire not get into the Ireland squad, or the Ireland training squad at least, down in Cork. I think they're in Fota Island at the moment, and he's not getting in that, and that's kind of frustrating to watch, because he's doing such a good job obviously, and looks like he's on the move. According to your trusted sources, he's on the move this summer. So it's kind of frustrating to see him not get into even the training squad when he's doing such a good job in the League of Ireland. And like you say, Daryl Horgan could be a huge player for us over the whole, the rest of the qualifying campaign. And even Andy Boyle, we see the likes of maybe John O'Shea. Richard Keogh's still a bit younger, but John O'Shea will be kind of maybe looking to retire over the next couple of years. We don't want to put words in his mouth, but certainly he's kind of coming towards the end of his career. Maybe someone like Andy Boyle can make the step up into the Irish squad and become a player who's actually getting a place in the team on a regular basis. We've seen the two of them. We've seen, you know, there's so much quality from the League of Ireland. Over the like half the Irish squad at the moment are originated from the League of Ireland, the likes of Shane Long and Wes Hoolihan as well. So yeah, there's a lot of quality in there, and I suppose the likes of, like I say, Andy Boyle and Daryl Horgan, and perhaps Seanie Maguire later on in the year, are kind of showing that.
Six games in the SSE Electricity League Premier Division this coming Friday night, Derek. I'll give the 8 p.m. kickoff. It's in Ballybuffet, Limerick against Finn Harps. Finn Harps as well, which we're going to talk about there. Gaffer Ollie Horgan and his socks in a moment. Yes. But Derek, five kickoffs at 7:45.
Yeah, St. Pat's are at home against Dundalk. Big game for, I suppose, both sides. Certainly considering the title race from Dundalk's point of view and the relegation battle from Pat's point of view. That's at Richmond Park, 7:45 on Friday. Elsewhere, Bray are at home to Sligo Rovers at the Carlisle Grounds. Champions League, huge game. Cork City at home to Shamrock Rovers, massive game again for both sides. Again, you'd have to fancy Cork going into that game. They obviously played recently in Offaly Stadium. So that's a Turner's Cross on Friday evening, 7:45. Derry against Drogheda at United Park as well. And Bowes travelling to Galway at MDC Park, 7:45 on Friday.
Bringing you the best League of Ireland analysis, interviews and build-up every week. 98FM's League of Ireland podcast.
On to our first division focus now. Cabinteely 2 at Lone Nil in Stradbroke on Saturday evening. Kieran Marty Waters with a double, one from the penalty spot and a late one on the counter-attack after a very good cross by one of the subs, Mikey Scott, who came on and made a good impact. Derek, what did you think of the game?
Yeah, decent game, I have to say. It was fairly level, but I suppose Cabinteely kind of did deserve it in the end. Athlone still kind of trying to find their feet under Roddy. So yeah, I kind of thought it was a fairly even game all around, but if one team did deserve to win it, I suppose it was Cabinteely. They kind of created a bit more.
Yeah, the opening goal came from the penalty spot in the 58th minute, and Igor Lobbutz nearly got it, dived the right way, and
he had a good game,
Yeah,
he made a good few saves, especially in the first half. Like I say, Cabinteely were kind of mostly on top. It was fairly even, but Cabinteely had the better chances to score before they did score, and Lobbutz did make a good few saves.
Yes, I spoke to both managers after the game. First, the new Athlone gaffer, Roddy Collins.
Athlone manager Roddy Collins, after tonight's 2-0 defeat to Cabinteely. Roddy, your first full game in charge. I know you made a cameo at halftime and talk. What was your thoughts on the game tonight?
It was crappy all game. Obviously, a penalty decided, and then we went chasing in the end. The 2-0 was a deserved result for Cabinteely. You know, looking and learning, and we need a lot of players in.
What was your first assessment being on the bench and kind of involved with the players for the full match day experience?
Well, they gave effort, there's no doubt about that. Everyone gave 100% effort, but you know, effort alone is not good enough sometimes. So it's just a matter of sitting down, assessing the squad of players and realising what you can achieve this year, and making it as strong as you can as quick as possible.
How easy or hard would it be for you to affect this current squad, given that they're not your players?
You can only do, you know what I mean, you can only do what you do, but sometimes you realise that, you know, a little bit of inexperience, like, I mean, there's a lot of kids there, players that are only coming into the country, don't know this league, and having to come and play on pitches like that. So look, there's a lot of stuff involved that has to be ironed out, you know, but I mean, I'll get the players to know that about that.
You're only able to name three subs. I know there was a bit of confusion in the press box.
No, we named five. Okay. But before the game, we had a problem with the team sheet. Couldn't find her, actually, the book. So we were a bit late getting, and the fourth official put us under massive pressure. So we handed it out, and then when we went to fill it back in, he refused to do it. So, you know, the usual farcical carry on. We have to put up with that tonight as well.
It's not something that you've missed, the farcical carry on?
No, it's something I detest, you know. I mean, I love it, the players working on it, but stuff like that really, you know, makes you fed up, you know.
One of your main strengths has been identifying players at all the clubs you've been to. There's been reports all week about different bodies you're going to try and get in. Well, do you have an idea yet yourself?
Well, I haven't spoken with anyone because we have a group of players that we have to sort out. And then also there's other players that the Mark, the chap that run on the situation, can bring in. So, you know, it takes time.
In terms of your relationship with Mark, I know you've never really worked with a director of football before. Probably.
I did. Okay. I worked at Malta as director of football. Yeah, no problem.
How does that work?
Well, it works. He looks after everything. We look after the team selection of players, squads, selection of squad players. He goes out and finds them. If they're good enough to stay, if they're not, they go. Simple.
Yeah, because there has been some foreign players in the group and some Irish-based ones as well. Do you see that as a possibility going forward, that Mark may suggest some from further abroad?
100%. It doesn't matter where they come from. That does never, I mean, at Bowles, we had them from the Caribbean, I had them from Croatia, I had them from Russia, I had them from everywhere, you know. So it doesn't matter. Footballers are footballers, you know. And once that come in and adopted the situation, like Avery John came into Bowles from the Caribbean and turned out to be a real stalwart in the league, Kevin Hunt from Hong Kong Rangers, so it doesn't matter, you know.
I know you said last week that you felt that Igor Lobbutz did really well in goal against Chelsea.
He did, and he's done well against today. Yeah, he's a great lad, and you see him in training all week. We trained four times this week, and I've watched him, and he's very honest, and, you know, he will take off a lot of very good saves, and something will roll in underneath him. So, you know, I just think it was unfortunate that he was put in a situation where people questioned his honesty.
Have you had to speak to him about that and make sure he's okay mentally?
He's okay.
Yeah,
I'm not chatting about it. I'm not worrying about it. I said I don't have any problem with it. I'll judge as how I see it from now on. And he's been as good as gold. Great young fella.
I know you weren't at the club at the time when these allegations were made, Roddy. You're obviously involved now as a manager. Do you have to speak to the FAI? Do you have to speak to anybody?
No, not to do with me. I wasn't there. You know, but I mean, it's an investigation, not to do with me. So whatever happens, happens. You know, but I'm looking around, and the ones I'm dealing with, I'd have no doubts around them.
next week you're playing against UCD. The manager Colly O'Neill's here tonight watching. Yeah. Another big game.
James, with our performance. It doesn't matter. Look, see what we do during the week. We've injuries, as you say. We got two players injured early in the game. We weren't allowed to have some on the bench. The game was supposed to be last night, so three players went away today. One back to Portugal, one to a wedding, and one to a 21st. He was his own 21st. So it was all over the shop this week, you know. But we nearly scraped out with a one-aller. But there you go. That's life.
Did he invite you to the party?
Who?
The fellow who's 21.
No. No, he didn't invite me.
Roddy Collins, thanks.
He's not in the team.
Thanks, Roddy. Cheers.
Thanks.
Athlone manager Roddy Collins there. Derek, you video those interviews. You can watch them in the 98FM Sport Facebook and Twitter pages. When we saw the team sheet come into the press box with only three subs, we kind of laughed. They then added two more on. One of the other journalists went down to the pitch and actually asked one of the subs himself if he was a sub. He said he was. But this appears to me to be totally Athlone's fault.
Yeah, well, they obviously, Roddy has a different viewpoint, and he's complaining about the linesman and the officials saying that they were rushed into doing it and then they weren't allowed to add two more. Whether they were told they could allow two more afterwards or not, I don't know. It seems like a strange excuse, and the fact that they couldn't find the team sheets, it's a bit ridiculous. The official team sheet, they couldn't find the book for the team sheets. It seems
so
a bit strange.
What happens is the team sheet is filled out and there's four team sheets on one, so it like transfers through all four pages. So the kit, it comes in an actual booklet.
Yeah.
And you fill it out and the referees get team sheet A, the opposition get team sheet B, which is a copy of team sheet A, the media get one, and you keep one for yourself. That's how the four work, and it comes in a book, and clearly they couldn't find the book. They were in a rush. They didn't put it on. The team sheet must be in 60 minutes before kickoff. That's a rule. And after it's been in 60 minutes, unless you have a player injured in the warm-up, in which case you can add two more subs on. But you can't just add subs on, you know, when you didn't have it in on time. If a game is live on TV, it's 75 minutes to give the TV crews a chance to do up their team graphics. But, yeah, find the team sheet. Or have the team sheet done before you arrive.
Yeah.
Surely your team is picked.
Yeah, absolutely. No, Roddy obviously was blaming the officials, but the rules are there. And if 60 minutes is 60 minutes, and if you can't find your team sheet, that's your own tough, really. Now, they had three subs, so they're still able to, obviously they played three subs, but same time, it kind of seems like their own fault that they didn't have the subs in place. It was a bit strange, bit hashtag greatest league in the world situation going on.
Yes. Now, what did the Cabinteely manager, Pat Devlin, think of the game? With the Cabinteely manager, Pat Devlin, after tonight's 2-0 win over Athlone. Pat, your views on the game, first win for you in a while.
Yeah, we've been sort of drawing an awful lot of games. We needed a win badly tonight. And fairness to the lads, I think they deserve the game overall. But you know, when it's sort of nil all, you know, little things can go against you. So I was happy with the clean sheet, but I was more happy when we got the penalty. And obviously, we missed a lot of chances. So look, 2-0 is a lovely scoreline, and it came at the right time. We didn't certainly think we were going to have a draw then once the second one went in. So you know, we broke our little bad run of draws. We certainly needed the 3 points, and we got them.
I was just speaking to Marty Waters going in. He was saying he was disappointed with the linesman a few times, but he scored the penalty and scored the goal on the counter-attack as well.
Well, look, you know, we're in this game long enough to know that you get some decisions going, you get some don't. And, you got a penalty, and we got a score at a second, so we're all happy. And, the linesmen get it right, they get it wrong. And, you know, tonight, sorry, the referee was, you know, oblivious, really, which is a good thing. He wasn't involved really that much, so I was just happy with the 3 points, and now we want the shells.
In terms of Marty, I think you had a run of the season at the start of the season where you won three and drew one in a row, probably scored in every game. And in the last while in your run of draws, he's not been maybe as good as he had been. But tonight, he's rediscovered that form. He'll hope he continue it now, up to the break at least.
I think a lot depends on service. And sometimes, you know, when a player of Marty's caliber, if he's not getting the service, it's very difficult. Tonight, he got a lot of opportunities. He created a lot of opportunities himself. He's a very good player. We really need to give him the ball much more and get him, particularly in the last third, because he's very creative. He can do things that other people can't do, and he can certainly finish. So hopefully he's on another run.
You've looked at a 3-5-2 and a 4-4-2 at times. I think you played both tonight. Do you like having Jay and Marty, or Marty and another up there, especially with Marty's pace?
I think sometimes, you know, you have to look at what you have and you play to your strengths. We made a couple of changes from last week. We didn't really turn up in Cove, and we needed to get a little bit more urgency. Made a couple of changes. We tried the 3-5-2. Weren't that comfortable with it. And we sort of decided to change even before Jay got injured. So it worked out then. We just matched them up 4-4-2.
What did you make of it, Lone, under Roddy?
oh, Roddy's a great character. He's going to add a lot of spice to it. He'll bring a bit of flavour to Athlone. There's no doubt about it. He'll bring in new players and he'll get them playing. He does it everywhere he goes. He had an unlucky run in Waterford, but Roddy's a good lad and he's going to do a good job in Athlone. Make no mistake about it.
Do you think it's hard for their players, given what's going on still, to focus on the football?
I think players sometimes are oblivious to it. You know, you deal with what's in front of you. And I think once players go over that white line, as you know, you're a coach yourself, you speak to them, but they do their own thing. So I think for that 90 minutes, they play football and they forget about whatever's going on. Okay, the build-up to it can be difficult and things like that, but when they go out, they just play. And tonight, they played reasonably well in patches. And, you know, as I said, I think we just dominated it slightly. But I think Roddy will certainly change things around and he'll bring in new players and it'll be a different Athlone come the next phase of matches, you know.
Shell's next for you, away in Talca on Friday. Owen here, he was here tonight there on a really poor run. They were beaten in Waterford, or in Wexford, should I say, on Friday. What's your thoughts on that game next week?
Well, we were on a very good run until we met them and they beat us 1-0 here in, I think, the 92nd minute or something. So, you know, it'll be a different type of game in Talca and, you know, just get on with it. Because they're on a bad run and we won tonight, absolutely means nothing. You know, depending on who we play next week, as in personnel, it'll be a different type of game. And it's always nice to play in Talca anyway. So I'm sure the lads will be looking forward to it. And I'm sure Owen's saying to himself, well, you know, he probably seen a few weaknesses in us tonight and said, well, I'll give this a go. And so, yeah, we'd have to have a little battle of wits in Talca.
And finally, Pat, just on the Cabinteely project overall, we're almost at that halfway point or the summer break at least. Where is it in your eyes? Is it where you wanted to be? And what other bits do you want to improve to make it even better?
I don't think you'd have enough time and you certainly wouldn't have enough battery for me to answer that. Look, I thought it was a big project when I came on in board, but it's much bigger. And look, each time there's a sort of curveball thrown at you, you try and deal with it and you move on. But it is difficult, and it doesn't get easier every day. It's more different than the other. So you just try and use all the experience you've got and deal with it, and still try to make the progress and make the project that little bit more professional and build it up. But I've got some great people here, really, really good people. We're a bit thin in the ground at some times, but some of the people we have here are fantastic. They do everything. But look, we're building it, and we'd hope to think that it will get better and better, and that's all we can do.
Finally, I know we're going to speak to you in the build-up to the game against New Zealand in a couple of weeks' time here. How's that going? And I understand you may be bringing in some guest players to play for you as well.
Well, look, we've looked at lots of different angles of regard to that game. Ticket sales are going well. It's an interesting game. Will we play guest players? I'm not 100% sure. There's lots of different angles on it. Insurance, players getting permission from clubs and so on. So we'll see what happens. We're talking to some people and hopefully, getting closer to the game, which is only 2 weeks away, we make a decision then.
And some time hopefully to get the pitch a little bit better. I know your last two games you've had to play on a Saturday because of other stuff here involving the rugby club. I know they weren't necessarily on the pitch, but it probably could do with improving a little bit, could it?
Oh, no, not a little bit. The pitch needs big improvement. But in fairness, they are working hard on it. We are getting the weather now, and I do think come our next home game against UCD, you'll see a massive difference in it. And the plan is to make sure that we have this in, as best condition we possibly can. Now, whether that's good enough for New Zealand or not, I don't really know. But it's certainly not good enough for us at this stage. So I doubt if it'll be very, if New Zealand will be 100% happy with it. But I'm sure we'll look after them. We'll show a little bit of Irish hospitality and give them a good run out and make it entertaining for them. And hopefully that, it all comes to fruition in the sense of making the pitch better. That's the big thing for me. Doesn't matter about everything else. If the pitch is right, everybody's happy.
Pat Devlin, thanks a million and well done tonight.
Cheers, lads.
That's the Cabinteely manager, Pat Devlin, as we stood on the pitch in Stradbrook at that game on Saturday night, a 2-0 victory for Cabo. And we did ask Devo there at the end, Derek, about the pitch and about welcoming the All Whites, not the All Blacks, the All Whites, New Zealand. Pitch is shocking.
Yeah, it was very poor. He said that himself. They need to work on it. Listen, it's a rugby pitch. They play rugby games there on a regular basis. The rugby season's coming to a close, or has come to a close over the last few weeks, so maybe they can get a bit of work on it over their next few weeks to get it ready for the summer. But it needs a good bit of work, because especially if New Zealand are coming and they need to be able to play on a decent pitch. So it needs a lot of work.
Yeah, Derek, some other games you're going to bring us through in the first division. First of all, UCD against Cove.
Yeah, Matthew Whelan, winner in the 79th minute for Cove. It was 1-0 in that game. Big, big win, and they're in it for the long haul, I suppose, now, Cove. Waterford beat Longford by a goal to nil as well. Derek Daly in the 12th minute, I think, scored that one.
Yeah, just on the UCD Cove game, like Cove, if you compare them last season and this season, they made the playoffs last year. They lost over two legs to Wexford, didn't get promoted. They're now just 2 points off the top in the first division, winning games consistently, beating, you know, UCD are now a couple of points behind them because of that. Stephen Henderson's done a great job there on a small budget. They have no professional players. There's a lot of local players in and around Cork. Some young lads as well who they have on loan or have actually signed from Cork City. But, you know, everyone talking about Waterford and talking about Longford and talking about Shells and talking about UCD. But Cove have been really, really good, and looks as if they're going to be one of the main, well, they are currently one of the main challengers to Waterford as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And like I say, Longford losing 1-0 to Waterford in that game. And Longford have been pretty awful, in fairness. 13 points from 13 games so far. 15 points off the top. So I don't know what's going on there, really, to be honest.
Yeah, neither do I. They've got a good squad. They've got a good manager. And they've just not been doing it. Like, they signed the likes of Jay Kelly from the Premier Division. He's been a proven player. You know, played for Bray, played for Dundalk, played for Bowes. Has only been in the team some weeks. They've other key players, you know, who clearly have not been performing at the level, and we tried to get interviews last week, and we were told the players weren't doing interviews, and you can maybe see why, because their league form, you know, they're on the same number of points as Athlone, for example, which kind of sums it up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Wexford 1-0. They beat Shells. Thomas Croke in the 3rd minute. It was Wexford's first win in 13 games all season, which is a bit mad, and Shells' 6th defeat as well.
Yeah, Wexford hadn't won a match all season in 12, and we briefly just had a quick hello to Owen Heary. He was watching the game in Stradbroke on Saturday, but you would say the same about Owen Heary and Shells as you would about Alan Matthews and Longford. I know they don't have, well, Longford do have a big budget. I don't think Shells do, but for Shells to be 15 points, one team going up, they're 13 points off the top, and not really been good enough for Shells. 6 defeats in those games. Yeah. And I don't think he's been able to pick a consistent team most weeks. But again, the first division is a little bit, if you're not in the top three and you're not near the top, it's a little bit pointless because you can't get promoted through the playoffs.
You can't get relegated, obviously, either. So
it's Shells and Longford, you'd be wondering what's going on there, and the players and everybody, the managers, need to take a bit more responsibility to try and pick up some wins.
Yeah, big time. So there are a couple of games on this weekend in the first division as well. There are obviously 4 games altogether, and we were watching Athlone on Saturday against Cabinteely. They're at home against UCD at Athlone Town Stadium at 7:45 on Friday evening. And we obviously saw Owen Heary watching Cabinteely as well on Friday or on Saturday night last, because Shells are taking on Cabinteely at Tolka Park on Friday evening as well, 7:45 in that one. And then on Saturday, 2 games, Cove against Waterford, 7:15 at St. Colman's Park, and 7:30 kickoff for Wexford making the trip to Longford Town.
That is a big game in Cove. The top team, Waterford, who've been winning, but winning by a goal or the odd goal here and there. And Cove have been so good. I must mention one of the Waterford players, John Martin. He's 18 years old. He made his first team debut the other night. He's Northern under 18 international, under 70 international. He is a fantastic footballer. Really, really good player. Made his first team debut, started the game, did really well. So if you're watching the first division, watch out for the name John Martin, a man who could do very, very well for his League of Ireland career over the next couple of years. But that is a big game in the first division. Derek, we must start our tweets of the week with the Finn Harps manager, Ollie Horgan. Please explain. The man who's been sent off in 2 of his last 3 matches, only back from a ban, sent off again, is wondering if the referees are picking on him and the fortifiers are picking on him. But he was a chilled out man in Daly Mount on Tuesday.
On Tuesday night, yeah. He was there to watch Bowes, obviously, in action. And yeah, there's a good picture of him here. Hashtag greatest league in the world. You can see it if you search for it there.
We'll
see
actually retweet it now on @98FM Sport.
Yeah, because it's Ollie Horgan in his socks. He's got no shoes on and he's just there and he's just watching the game. He's just chilling, as only Ollie can, really. No shoes on him, watching the game in socks. Obviously, it was a warm day, so, you know, that's his excuse, that it was too warm for shoes. He's a bit of a hipster in the picture, it has to be said.
Yes, and then there's another tweet by the same guy, I'm not sure if you see this one. Ollie update. He just changed into his trousers in front of us all. Still in the socks. Hashtag greatest league in the world. Hashtag hipster. Hashtag Ollie Horgan.
So I wonder if he thought, listen, the shorts are a bit too much here. I need to change into my trousers, you know, to show a bit of respect to people, but still leave the other shoes off. Nah, fair play to him.
We should have said that John Delaney, of course, was at the game in Stradbroke. And this tweet says, John Delaney received heavy abuse from both sets of fans in Tallaght tonight. That was at the Shamrock Rovers Galway game on midweek on Tuesday evening. Yes, Tuesday evening it was.
Monday
evening, should I say. Sorry, I'm getting confused. 3 on Monday and 3 on Tuesday. John Delaney had 2 League of Ireland games in 3 days. What's going on here?
I didn't see him at the Cabinteely game till quite late on. We didn't see him till afterwards, actually. So he was on the far side of the stadium. So I don't know what he was.
And you were on the hunt for Mick Cook at the time.
Yeah, that was a strange one. Hashtag greatest league in the world. The Athlone Town team sheet, we've talked about it already, the fact there's only three subs on the team sheet. But there was five names of coaches on the coaching staff. A couple that were missing that we kind of thought Cravo was missing. We thought he might be on it, and we heard earlier on from Roddy Collins why he wasn't on the team sheet. But there was a name, Mick Cook. It looked like Mick Cook. It was in handwriting. It looked like Mick Cook, and I was convinced that Cook was back at Athlone Town. We didn't see him around, so we don't know if it was a joke from somebody or if it was another Michael Cook that helps out that long time.
Maybe it was the kit man that lost the team sheet book.
Maybe that's what it was. I don't know, but whoever it was, it looked like there was a Mick Cook back in Athlone. We don't know if it's the Mick Cook. It doesn't seem like it was.
Finally on that, actually, from the Athlone Town FC unofficial Facebook page, I think what happened here, Derek, was Athlone Town changed from Athlone Town FC to Athlone Town AFC. I think they kept the old Facebook page and just added in the unofficial bit, so it puts in funny stuff all the time, so it goes. Athlone only listed three subs. Reserve goalkeeper Conor Gleeson and Sean McGrain were out for the warm-up, but don't appear on the official team sheet. By the rules, they should not be able to take their place on the bench. Confirmed, they are not on the bench and take their place among the spectators due to what appears to be an administrative error.
Yeah, so again, you asked Roddy about that afterwards, and he kind of explained his side of the story was, like I say, that there was no, the officials put him under a bit of pressure to get the team sheet in because they couldn't find it.
And you were also chatting to the Athlone Town FC fans on Twitter also.
Yeah, I was. I was just giving them the bit of advice about what happened. Like, again, because Roddy explained what happened.
It's a funny line, though.
What, that Roddy blamed the officials for that?
No, just their tweet.
Oh, yeah, so two Athlone players who travelled could not play because whoever filled out the team sheet forgot to put them in it. Christ, and a few smiley faces. It is hashtag greatest league in the world. No matter what, either from the officials' point of view, it's a bit bizarre, or from Athlone's point of view, it's a bit bizarre that they couldn't find the team sheet. I mean, for crying out loud, that's kind of one thing that they need. Before a game is the team sheet. So either way, either for Athlone or for the officials, it is a bit ridiculous.
Finally, Derek, have you ever been jocked?
No, thankfully, never have.
Well, one of the fans between Bray and Bowes the other night tried to jock the linesman.
Okay.
Jumped over the barrier, and there's a photo of him and a steward diving towards him as he tries to
physically
pull down
the
linesman's shorts. I don't think so.
The steward is jumping in there very bravely altogether. He's like the bodyguard in the film, jumping in there.
Why? Must have been a bet, but ridiculous behaviour. Jumping over the stand and trying to jump the linesman. The lino's like ready, skipping up and down the sideline, doesn't know what's going on.
If you miss an offside decision because of that, they'd be complaining.
They would. Derek Ryan, thank you very much, sir.
No worries.
That is it for another week on 98FM's League of Ireland podcast. We are on 98FM.com, the 98FM Sport iTunes channel, and also our very cool app, which you'll find in the Google Play or the App Store. Just search for 98FM. Every Wednesday. And we'll have interviews as well with all the guys coming up between now and Friday as well. If you miss anything, you'll find it there, and we will chat to you next Wednesday, folks. Enjoy the games. Get to a game this Friday or Saturday for the hashtag greatest league in the world. See you later. Bye-bye.
For up-to-the-minute League of Ireland coverage, see 98fm.com/sport. 98FM's League of Ireland podcast is back next Wednesday. And every Wednesday on 98FM.com, the 98FM app, and on the 98FM Sport iTunes channel. 98FM.